Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in your everyday life. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast. Pastor David is here in studio, and Pastor Liz is with us out of studio. There she
is. Hi, guys.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great.
Good.
Doing well?
I'm great. We're great. Are you great?
I'm phenomenal.
You're phenomenal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm simply phenomenal.
I was waiting for it.
Okay.
Okay. You're not complexly phenomenal.
No. I'm not composite.
Composite.
Oh my gosh.
Compound.
Today we're talking about simplicity in Christ.
Yes.
Yes.
Not divine simplicity, but the simplicity of Christ. Mm-hmm. All the theology nerds, you know, out there. So. If you don't know what that means, you're pretty lucky. So
you're in good company if you don't know what that means. Okay, help us, Liz. Help us kick this off. Simplicity in Christ. What's on your mind with simplicity in Christ?
Yeah, I've been. This is something that's been pulling at me for a while now here, and it's to be very transparent. It's something that the Lord's really been pulling at, I guess, in my life. Mm-hmm. And prompting and speaking to me and calling me back again in some areas. Because I think as you know, a lot of times you walk with the Lord for quite a while, you kind of become a professional at it, you know, in some ways. You kind of just know, this is what I do, and I can do that, and I can do this. And you kind of just know the ropes. And I think it's very easy to just get caught up in a lot of different things and forget the one thing. Yeah. And not forget it, but just not have it in its rightful place of priority and pursuit. Mm. Let's say it that way. And so I've just been something that's been kind of just pressing on me for quite a while now. And there's been this call. I hear it personally, but also corporately of to remember the one thing, like that there's the pearl of great price. There's the treasure in the field. The one thing that you give everything else for. Mm-hmm. And to me, that does speak of the simplicity of pursuing Christ.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of just what's been rolling around in my soul, I guess, for a while here and provoking me and convicting me and all the good things that the Holy Spirit does.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Love it. What do you think, Dave?
Yeah. I mean, that's really, God made it very, very simple. So, Christ is the center of everything in Christianity. That's what it means to be a Christian, that Christ is everything to us. Christ is all and in all. For us to live is Christ, to die is gain, just to gain more Christ. So, God made it simple because, you know, I often say this is that, Christ is the perfect image of God. So if you want to know what God is like, you're supposed to just look at Jesus. If you want to know what you are supposed to be like, you look at Jesus because he's also the perfect man. He's the image of humanity. All things are reconciled and held together in Christ. So the way he lived, the wholeness that he exhibited is what his will is for the world. Mm-hmm. So if you are ever interested in learning anything, the foundation of your truth should be Christ. Mm-hmm. It's God made it simple. It's not that it isn't complex. It's just all united in one person. Mm-hmm. Truth isn't a series of propositions. It's a person. And that's just a way of laying things out that not only is it a truth statement, it's a relational thing. Like Liz is saying, that we're supposed to know this person. We're supposed to receive his love, his unveiling of the Father. The Holy Spirit is constantly unveiling him so that he can unveil the Father. Mm-hmm. And the Father is unveiling us. And we're supposed to unveil the cosmos. Mm. We're supposed to unveil the world around us. But none of that is going to happen just by knowing it intellectually. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of distractions, you know, in life just to pull us towards politics or economics or even theology or biblical studies rather than to sit at the feet of Christ. Mm-hmm. Because it's in his presence that we're living in true harmony with our created design, to know God, to be known by God. Just to let people know that there can be a lot of things that seem very, you know, complex and, you know, very hard to understand in the Bible or in theology or in life. Who am I? like, how do I understand myself? The most complicated, you know, people are like, well, I can't even know myself. I can't even find myself. Well, you find yourself in Christ. So for us, the answer is always Jesus. The answer is always that he binds everything together in perfect union. Mm-hmm. But exploring that is something that doesn't just automatically happen.
Right.
I don't know if you have any
reflections on that. I was just thinking about what Liz said a moment ago about, you know, when you've walked with the Lord for a little bit, it's easy to do one of two things. You either kind of like, oh, I got this figured out, and so I don't really need to pursue him, or you start adding layers of complexity to it because we do. It's a strange human condition that we actually make things more complicated. We think we're making things more, more efficient, but we're actually adding layers of complexity. I've been thinking about that as kind of barely related, but I'll say it. Like, I've been thinking about technology, you know, and AI and all these things that are supposed to make things more convenient or simpler or better or whatever, and they don't. They make things grossly more complicated, especially for the human soul, like especially there. So when I think about the simplicity, it's, you know, and Paul's saying this, he's warning them and saying, like, don't forget in all your learning and all you're getting and all you're going, don't forget that there's a simplicity in Christ, yep. Right? Like, the just shall live by faith. Mm-hmm. Very simple statement. But we make that extremely complicated, right? Because we're like, oh, well, no, that means that I believe in one sense, but tomorrow I have to earn this. And then after that day, I have to achieve this. And then I'll be more accepted because I'll be more this. And it's like, wait, what did you just, mm-hmm. what are you creating right now? Hold on, come back, right?
Yeah. I think when David was talking about all this information, that you're accumulating. And some of this is I just taught last night here. And so, of course, some of this came out. But I was saying, you know, there's a big difference between information and knowledge. Disciples are not supposed to be people who just accumulate information. Mm-hmm. They're actually supposed to be people who grow in knowledge. And there's a huge difference in those two things. You can get a lot of information about something, but that doesn't mean that you know, mm-hmm. that you know it. And, I can study a lot of things about marriage. And I think this is like something that we get really intimidated by in Christianity. Like, we need to have all this information. We need to know this scripture and that scripture and that word and that origin and all of this history and all of these things. And otherwise, we're not capable of explaining Christ, right. You know, maybe, or understanding Christ or something. But like, I can study, I can read books about marriage. I can do research. I can do essays, you know, I can do all this stuff, but I may not ever be able to give you like the definitive guide to marriage, mm-hmm. but I can tell you that I know my husband, mm-hmm. you know, I can describe to you who he is and what he's like. And I know, I recognize his voice. I recognize the way he walks. I know in a circumstance what he would do, mm-hmm. what he would be thinking. You know, and so it brings it back, like, I don't have to understand everything in the world about something. Mm-hmm. But if I know Jesus, if I know him personally, there's a knowledge that transcends all information. Right. And this is why it says, like, you know, people are always gaining, it says knowledge, but it's information, gaining information, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth.
Right.
Like, the knowledge brings it to a, mm-hmm. a simple point, mm-hmm. of, I know this person, and I know their voice. I know how they walk. I know how they think. I know their heart. I know what they would do here. You know, like, it brings everything down, mm-hmm. to this very simple and pure place.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we get pulled away from that, or we get intimidated away from that. We think that we have to be this something big. And he's like, no, just come back to you and me. Like, do you know me? Do you let me know you?
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Good.
Yes. Yeah. I was just going to say that's why that was coming to mind for me with the just shall live by faith. Like, it's a relationship that we're developing. It's not a book we're reading per se. It's a person, like you were saying, David. And we're learning how to relate to the Lord, and we relate to him by growing in our knowledge and our understanding of who he is and who we are in him, right? And that takes faith, because you have to walk, you have to walk that out, here a little, there a little, precept to precept. You have to grab a hold of something, apprehend it, and then allow it to work in your life. Like we were talking in Spirit One this week about holding on to what God's word says, like just holding it and not quickly, you know, just going, oh, that's good, and tuck it in your backpack and off you go. And oh, there's another word, throw that in my backpack. It's like, no, you need to hold it, like walk with it out in front of you, even if you don't understand it. Right. I was really encouraging the students, there's many things we'll read and many, you know, things that are very deep in God and very mysterious. And we're just like, I don't know what any of this means. But instead of disregarding it because we don't understand it, we're supposed to hold on to it by faith and just hold it and go, okay, I don't fully understand this, Lord, but I want to know you. Mm-hmm. I want to know you through this. I want to understand your thinking. I want to understand how you felt about this. I want to understand your view on this. And I believe that's where we have this opportunity to behold him, right? And walk in that.
Yeah. I just think, you know, what you guys are both saying is like, God, he wants to know us and he wants us to know him. That's what Christ is. God took on flesh and said, you know, all these other approaches people have to know me are not going to work. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you can look at sequoia trees all day long and you're not going to know what God's heart is like. You could examine your conscience all day long. You might know some basic morality, but you're not going to understand sacrificial, self-giving love. Mm. But when God comes to us to reveal himself to us, he takes the first step and he takes off his mask. You know, he takes off everything and he's naked and unashamed before us. Mm-hmm. And he wants us to be naked and unashamed before him. And we are going to come into that relationship before we understand the particulars of it, before we understand God's reasons, or, you know, we can explain his ways in the world or something like that. Like you're saying, you come into a friendship with him, you come into a marriage with him, you come into a father-son, father-daughter relationship with God,
yeah,
because of Christ. And so, and that's God's initiative to us. It's him pulling us in to that relationship. It's him pursuing us, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's what's so powerful about Christ. And that's what Paul is writing. And, you know, when he says, don't let anybody draw you away from the simplicity in Christ, mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 11:3, he's talking about people that came in super apostles, Judaizers, legalists, you know, and they mm-hmm. came in to try to draw people off into some complex system of works and getting closer to God and closing separation. And Paul goes, wait a minute, like there's, don't get drawn away from the fact that you're in Christ. Mm-hmm. He came for you. We're not even saved. You know, it says, you know, the just will live by faith. Another way to translate that from Habakkuk 2:4 is that my righteous one shall live by faith. And it's Christ who lived by faith. Mm-hmm. We live by his faithfulness. Mm-hmm. Our faithfulness grabs on and to his faithfulness. He always took the initiative. He always brought us in, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what's so amazing about it, is it's just a unilateral liberation of us and drawing us into free relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And so like, that's what Christ is. And it's very simple. Like God loves you so much that while you were his enemy, he brought you into love relationship with him. And you're like, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. That does make it pretty simple. Like I love you and I will never change. Even while you were an enemy, I was
right
dying for you.
Right.
So
yeah, I love that.
Yeah. I think there's an aspect of childlikeness in this whole thing also, because the gospel is, you can explain it to a child, like in a way they can understand it and then they can apply their faith to it. Mm-hmm. And I think that once things get beyond that point, what are they doing? What are they accomplishing in our lives? You know, there's things that we're trying to understand, and you know, people love to explore different topics and what is this mystery and that mystery, and that's all fine, but it's foundation of your walk. It's not the thing that's going to anchor you. Mm-hmm. It's not the thing that's going to cause you to burn over long periods of time. Mm. You know, and that's for me, like I don't ever want to come to the place where I'm just a professional Christian and I'm doing things because I'm skilled at doing it now, because I've been doing it so long. Mm-hmm. And it's lifeless. You know, like I want to burn. I want to burn for things. And that requires all the other things that be stripped away to always come back to the one, thing.
Yeah.
And that is the single eye fixation on Jesus, on right. God himself and his unending love and his, like his holiness, his purity, he is a consuming fire. Mm-hmm. You know, that place, is something that I endeavor to keep like for the rest of my life. Like I want to be someone who's 80 or 90 years old, like burning for God. I don't want to become complacent and just like, oh, it's good enough.
Right.
Like I got, I, you know, like there's, oh yeah, I do my life and this is the way I do it. And this way I've been doing it now for decades. And it's just how it is. And I'm faithful, you know, but I don't know, for me, I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want that. And it requires like consistently laying down pride and consistently laying down, even like, how people perceive you, because it requires that you become an amateur again and you're trying to do things that you don't understand yet and you don't know how to do. And just sometimes you make a fool out of yourself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that Absolutely. Requires like consistently laying down pride. Mm. And it's funny because I had this dream a few years ago and it's like, it just keeps coming back to the surface. But in my dream, I was in this school. It was obviously like a kid's school. There were like paintings on the, like kid drawings on the walls, you know, hung up to, for the parents to see, whatever. And I'm walking through and I'm like, I can't find my classroom. I can't find my classroom. And like Pat and Celine were there and my mom was there. And I'm like, do you know what my classroom is? And like, we don't know. And I'm walking around, I'm like trying to find my classroom. And this little girl comes out of her room and she comes and grabs my hand. She goes, I know where you're supposed to go. And she brings me into this room and it's like, it's the kindergarten room. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't think this is where I belong. Right. And she goes, oh no, no, this is where we all start. Wow. And, I turn around and there's this man standing behind the desk and I ask him what his name is. And he says, I'm Triune. And it was, and then I wake up from the dream, but it's like this consistent reminder, like this is the Holy Spirit is bringing it back up to my memory, because I'm at another point in my life where he's like, are you willing to become childlike again, even though you're, you know, in your 40s now, like you've been doing things, you're leading people, you're, you know, all of these things. And like, are you willing to go back to the place where you don't know what you're doing? You're completely dependent. You're open to be taught and you're open to walk that process out in front of people and let them see it.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I'm at. This is the, and it's, and it like strikes at the heart of pride in every way and fear, you know, all at the same time. So
I love that.
I'm just laying it out real right now.
Yeah, no, that's so good. Yeah. Liz, just, you know, the realness and the rawness. And as you were saying that, it was like, it's like the clay jumping on the wheel and just going, whatever you want to do. You know, he can form me one way one day and then reform me another way the next day. But I'm not going to let, you know, there's that scripture, and Pastor Bob quotes it quite a bit, but, you know, knowledge puffs up. And so that's that me making this the professional thing, right? I know all this. Oh yeah, I know that. Right. Like that's one of the things I used to say a lot. I'd go sit in a sermon and, you know, it's the 1300th time I've heard a message on, you know, the Beatitudes or what have you. And you're like, okay, yep, heard this. And great. All right. And you look at your watch and that's that knowledge that puffs up. It's thinking, oh man, God help us. It's thinking, you know, the text, but do you know him? Right. And how I want to use Liz's example of marriage. If I just, after 17 years of marriage to my wife, just said, okay, I'm done learning about you. And now everything I know about you is what I know about you. I've got you figured out. I know it all. What's that going to do for my relationship? It's going to be a train wreck now, because I've just absolutely stopped one of the most essential and most simplest aspects of relationship. And that is continuing in relationship. Right? Isn't that interesting? We like stop the relationship by going, oh yeah, I know this. I'm good. I got this covered. And that's that pride thing. Pride just is this, huge wall that just stops progress dead in its tracks. Where the Lord is like, look, don't be pulled away by this. And I think that's where the pride comes, right? It's easy to go, well, I don't know that. So tell me about your complex theory of this or that, or wow, I need to search for other things. I need to search for hidden knowledge now, because now it's this crazy, you know, rabbit trail of enlightenment or deeper truth or getting more revelation. And why am I doing all that? So I can puff up more, because the simple things in Christ don't satisfy anymore. That's the scary part. Where yeah. the simplest things in Christ are incredibly satisfying. They're nourishing, they're cleansing. They're so profoundly mysterious and deep beyond what we can even begin to put together as human beings. And that is what we get to see. I right now I'm in the last several years I'm just like, I'm always just baffled now. I'm like, I've walked with the Lord for so long and I didn't know that. I didn't know that either. I didn't see it that way. I didn't understand it that way. Wow. I am a novice. Like I really am. Like I relate a lot of my life to jiu-jitsu now, because I've been doing that for many years now. And I'm like, I'm a white belt. I'm brand new. Or people would say, I'm green. I'm just gotta be green. If you're green, you're growing. That's good.
I'm just thinking of the green Power Ranger. made me think
Green Lantern.
Yeah. Sorry to ruin the sobriety of the moment. It's true, because Jesus is saying, like, the kingdom of God belongs to children. The childlikeness that Liz mentioned, it's almost as if all our adulthood is going to boil off when we're in the presence of God. And all of our professional accomplishments and all our expertise and all our technique is not compatible with childlikeness. None of the things that we can take pride in, like you guys are saying,
right,
none of the things that we can boast in is worth anything. It's all loss compared to knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's all going to burn in the fire of the last day when our secrets are disclosed, when our false self is burned away. You know, I built all this. Okay, you know, I wanted you on my lap, you know. The disciples are like, who's going to be the leader in the kingdom? And Jesus just grabs a kid and puts the kid on his lap and goes, look at this kid.
Right.
And that is some simplicity, where the kid is totally wants to be with Jesus, you know, wants to be blessed by Jesus, probably wants to play with him and roll around on the ground and, you know, wrestle, do jiu-jitsu, yeah, Power Jesus Rangers, you know, Morphin Time. That's what the kid wants to do. When I was a kid, I was like, I want that Red Ranger, you know, the Megazord, you know, that's what I wanted. But so the kid is very much just like relaxed in the presence of God. The kids, you know, yeah, I'm free, because there's a confidence before our Father that God wants to bring us back to. And all our religious accomplishments can create distance, you know, and all our knowledge of the text. Like, I have a lot of things I've studied and I've learned, but my main pursuit in knowledge and study is to get to Christ, is to actually remove the obstacles that stand between us and seeing the Lord.
Yeah.
Because the Bible says in Colossians that Christ is the mystery of God. And you're like, well, how does God reveal all his mysteries? This flesh and blood guy from Nazareth. Who was God in the flesh. He makes it very simple. But there's so many roadblocks between understanding that in our modern world, and also our systems that we've learned, we've been trained in, also what the world puts on us and our expectations of ourselves, and just being an adult and walking through this world. There's a lot that can cloud the light of Jesus Christ.
Sure.
And so what we can do as biblical scholars or pastors or teachers is hopefully remove people's obstacles, so they go, it's that simple. Let me get to know him.
Yeah.
Without being told, what you really need to do is have this person lay hands on you and open a portal over here and go to this conference and, you know, take this vow and do that.
Do the vow before the conference.
Oh, right. Yeah. You have to. It only has to be in an exact right order too. And wash your hands before, you know, all the things that Jesus went into. How much of it is tradition of man, and how much of it is the living word of God? We're always learning, not coming to the knowledge of the truth, because the truth is a person. The word of God is living and active, sharper than every two-edged sword. That's a person.
Yeah.
Like, everything is, it's very personal. But we have to deconstruct sort of the, you know, the systems and the ways of doing things. Mm-hmm. At least me, I'm just talking about me personally.
I'm with you on that. When you say the systems, it is the nature of the world system, because God is not the author of confusion. The world system is run by an insane, confused entity, the accuser of the brethren, and all he does is whip up whirlwinds of complexity and things to trip over and try to hurdle over and try to achieve through and try to, like, it's so Babel. Contrary. Yeah. It's so contrary to everything that the Lord has said, mm-hmm. right? Again, the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
That is so simple, right? I hear Pastor Bob again. I didn't say it's easy, but it is simple.
It's impossible, actually.
It's possible, because all things are possible through Christ mm-hmm. and in Christ. And so it's so funny, because you say it and it sounds simple and people are like, it's got to be more than that, right? Because in our human nature, our carnal mind, it doesn't understand God. It never will. It's in opposition to him. It cannot get in line with him. It won't. Right? That's why your mind has to be renewed and your mind has to be washed. And then when you read the word and the word gets implanted into your heart, your mind can begin to be, I'm going to say, inspired or directed by the Spirit, the new Spirit within us, the Word of God that's growing within us, and the Holy Spirit that's hopefully living and residing, dwelling within us. That direction is all about relationship, and it's all apprehended by faith. And faith is, I think people think, and like to your point earlier, Liz, you were saying, like, I know a lot of folks, and I was like this. I was like, oh, in order to be ready to preach or in order to be ready to evangelize, I need to know more of the word. I need to be able to, like, the Bible says to be ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within you. He didn't say be ready to give a dissertation about, you know, why and where the hope came from and why it works and how it does and why it does and why God thinks like this. And it's like, we make it so complex that people don't have to have faith. They just want to have understanding, right? Mm-hmm. They just want to gather the knowledge and go, oh, I know all about this now. So I feel more confident in this. Like it's a third period class in college. Like this, that's not it. It's faith. I hear the word. I was telling a friend of mine this week, read the word. When you read the word, you have to decide, I'm going to receive this now by faith. I don't understand it all, but Lord, you will bring me understanding on this. But right now, by faith, I accept it and I receive it. Like, our class opened up on Tuesday and the Lord dropped something in my heart earlier. And I was like, boy, we need to ask the class about, like, receiving. Like, do you guys actually receive? And one of the students had written a beautiful homework assignment. She wrote a great article, and she said one of the things she was realizing she needed to focus on was receiving, because she mm-hmm. had such a hard time with receiving. And was it because she was prideful, or was it because she was wrestling with it. So I'm like, hey, let's wrestle with that as a class. What's going on? And I mean, everybody, including myself, 90% of us all raised our hands. We're like, yeah, we have trouble receiving. Oh, really? Why is that? Well, because we're making it complex.
You're adults.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I almost think that the adult thing, because I don't want to, you know, we don't want to throw rocks at maturity. Like, maturity is good. God calls us to grow in maturity. But I believe that the maturity is one who has learned how to live the life of faith. Like, you've learned how to just lean all the way into it without any reservation. Then the Lord goes, that's childlike.
You've grown in grace.
Right.
You've grown into, like, you're maturing into it. Mm-hmm. And you go all the way in. You know that you're a white belt. You know that you don't know anything, you know. And even if I can take, you know, Paul, what did he say? I could take everything I know, all the knowledge I know, and I don't even consider it like I've attained anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's a big difference between childlikeness and childishness.
Yeah.
You know, so this is not, it's not an excuse to be immature and rash and, you know, all the things that come with immaturity, but it is a challenge to what do you depend on in your life? And also, are you committed to staying locked in to the one thing?
Right.
That takes extreme discipline, actually, because it's very easy to get pulled off into other, and like very good things, mm-hmm. you know. And I was talking with some young people, and I was like, you know, you keep hearing like you guys are the generation that's gonna, you guys are meant to do great things, and you're gonna change the world, and you're gonna, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, and that's like you are. That's who you are. Mm-hmm. But that's not the goal of Christianity. The goal of Christianity is to know Christ.
Right.
You know, and we can try to do all of these great things and get completely pulled away from the one thing. Mm-hmm. And that's, it's easier to do than you think. You know, it's easier to get, to just get pulled away into to doing a lot of really good things around Jesus in the vicinity, but actually getting derailed from the pursuit of the one.
That's good. The hardest thing to do is to sit with God. Like it's really easy to get things done and to fill up your schedule and to meet with people and to prepare teachings and to study the Bible and listen to podcasts on leadership. And, you know, I'm just thinking of things I do, meet with people to counsel them. Mm-hmm. That stuff all tends to happen. Mm-hmm. The thing that gets shoved to the side is just, hey, here I'm right here, Father. What are you saying? I want to be with you. Mm-hmm. I love you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that the devil does not. That's what you get opposed on. That's mm-hmm. what your flesh opposes, what the world, what the devil opposes. And so, yeah, there can be a real discipline needed to follow Jesus into that. But I think it's our fascination that leads to our discipline. Mm-hmm. Because if we're not being gripped by the simple beauty of Jesus, the absolute, unconditional, overwhelming, all-conquering love of Christ, all we're left with is our own willpower. Hmm. You know, and so, and faith is not willpower or technique. You know, faith is not, I will believe this, I will keep going, right. I will do it this way. Faith, like you said, is receiving or resting mm-hmm. in something that God has already promised. Mm-hmm. Abraham even believed without wavering that his dead loins and his wife's dead womb would bring forth a miraculous child. Mm-hmm. And he didn't have to he had to believe that and rest in it. And I don't think that was always easy for Abraham to do, you know, right. But it was because God had intervened and come and called him and spoke to him. And he had a relationship with him as a friend face to face that he was able to endure in the faith. And so, I think we have to understand that he's calling for a childlike faith, which really is, you know, daddy's here, mommy's here,
right.
I'm secure, right. It's going to be okay. And so that's the childlikeness. Yeah, I do believe we grow into maturity to be a full son. But even Christ is always fully dependent on Abba. You know, he's fully dependent. You know, he's into your hands I commit my spirit, Father. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, I thought the Father deserted him. No, into your hands I commit my spirit.
Yeah.
And that was where he was always at. So that's a challenge to me. It's not where I'm always at. So,
Yeah.
I think that's the place that unlocks faith for impossible things also. Mm. You know, that is the childlike thing, you know, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or what's possible to a kid, mm-hmm. you know, because they don't know better. And I think like that for me, it's like, what if you didn't know better? You know, what would you think is possible? What would you ask for? That's the place like the Holy Spirit's asking me to come to this place of like, don't think about what in all your mind and your experience and your knowledge of the world is possible for me to do.
Right.
What's possible when you look at me? That's what I'm hearing from him, mm-hmm. you know, is like, forget everything else. That why does that weigh in? Right. Why does that weigh into your faith conversation? Mm. What if you're looking at me? Then what do you think is possible for me to do?
Right.
With you in my life, around me, with the people around me, with the things I'm beginning to believe for. Like he's asking me to expand and stretch my faith in ways that are beyond anything I've experienced, you know, but it has to come back to, I can't consider what makes sense to my adult mind or my experience in the world. It's what do I see when I look at him? What do I believe he is capable of doing?
That's really good.
I'm hearing,
Go ahead.
Yeah. I'm hearing this thing in Ephesians where Paul just ascends us all the way up. Like he goes, you are dead, you're raised, you're brought up to heavenly places. And then he starts praying and he goes, from here, you know, from where Christ has brought you, where you are in Christ, this ascended position of reigning. I'm going to pray that God gives you the power to understand the immeasurable greatness of his power, mm-hmm. and that the eyes of your heart are going to be enlightened.
Right.
And you're even going to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. You're going to know the height and the width and the breadth and the depth. And by the way, you're going to ask, and he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever ask right. or imagine. He's going to throw you over every hurdle. He's going to, you know, hyperbolo is, you know, mm-hmm. in Greek. He's going to just throw you hyper over anything that you could imagine, because you are linked with the one who fills all things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, he's launching you into space there, because that's where we are at in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to claw our way into that position. We're living from that position.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, is that easy to internalize? Probably not. It can just be information, or we can be like, that's really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I need to think about that. That is not how I see myself.
Right.
I'm not believing the simple fact that I'm in Christ in his glory. What if we believe this? What if we believe it as a people?
Yeah.
What if we infect other people with this? All of a sudden, like Liz is saying, we're looking at Christ for our directive and for our dreams even. Yeah. And it's so much bigger than what, if we just look at what's available to us, all we get is Ishmael,
mm-hmm.
you know, but if we're looking at Christ, we get Isaac, we get mm-hmm. the whole promise, we get the Christ, we get all nations blessed. And so, yeah, I mean, are we willing to abandon man's complexity and figuring it out and splitting the pie 100 different ways?
Right.
And just totally abandon that system
and
instead go to the place of the ascended glory.
Yeah.
What is possible to the one who believes?
Yeah.
Everything.
There it is again.
So it's, yeah. And again, oh, good point. You know, can we really internalize that?
Right.
You know, that's the challenge.
Right. Well, that's always the, the challenge I see is, and I still do this, is that it gets caught just in the head,
yeah.
right? We read it and we go, okay. And we're trying to make it make sense before we, as it's kind of the, I would say it's just like our flesh. It's the way that our physical body and our brain works wonderfully. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. It's a mystery how all that even works. But when we look at things, we want to look at it and we want to categorize it, and then we want to attach the category to meaning, and then we want to define it, and then so it helps us understand reality. But the things of the spirit are not seen. Right. I was thinking about how, like, you know, we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, I also, as Liz was saying, I was like, oh, whoa, you know, our experiences also start to fall into sight, because it's things that I have seen, I have done, I have touched, I have heard, I have experienced is good. I think it's great, but that's very different than revelation and being led by the Spirit. And I would also say, back to the simplicity point, I think that we are, you know, as we endeavor to be childlike, right? Just really receive God's words for what they truly are, his words, and just full stop, I believe yet. I don't know it all. I don't understand it all, but I will hold it all and care for it, what is precious. And you know, I'm embracing the person. Like, when I'm talking about holding the word, I'm talking about embracing Christ. And just saying, mm-hmm. okay, well, I'm going to keep walking with you. And just, I mean, imagine the disciples. They're like, okay, that's Jesus from Nazareth, right? Okay. And we gave up our fishing business to follow this guy. And what is he saying again? Like, they just keep, but they're like, there's just something you have, and I can't let you go. Mm-hmm. And even though other people don't understand, even though I don't understand, we know you have the words of life. I mean, they didn't even have a revelation of that. They're just saying, like, you have the words of life. Where else would we go?
That's really good.
And then they're still willing to be like, nah, I don't know about all that, you know. But what the tension there is so interesting to me, because they stayed with him. They continued to follow. They continued to be at his feet. They continued to walk side by side with him. They continued to eat meals with him. I mean, that's all the relational aspect. And that's what God is yearning for. I just feel his heart right now. He's yearning for us to continue to walk with him, to walk with him and trust him. That's the big T word of these days, right? Is trust. And that's where we ended up with the receiving on the other day was like, oh, I guess I just don't trust. Mm. And because I don't trust, I don't receive. And it's like, well, how do we trust? We have to lean on him, right? We have to trust in the Lord. Lean not on our own understanding, my own experience, my own, what you know, where things went good and where things failed, yep. Right? I personally been in this 2-year study deep dive of healing. And in the middle of that deep dive, I have a fourth child that didn't live. And, you know, you can't look and take those circumstances and go, well, this doesn't make sense now.
Yeah.
Actually, profoundly, it makes more sense and more has been illuminated to me. But I'll tell you this, it will never detour us if we continue to keep the main thing, like Liz was saying, right? Keep it simple and walk with him by faith. We'll never lose sight of the relationship that he's brought us into and being joined to him. Like we won't lose that because that is the most precious thing that we could have ever been invited into. That's the baffling part to me. I'm like, the Lord did this. I didn't do anything to earn it. He just said, you know what? I love you. I'm going to extend mercy to you. I'm going to give you grace. I mean, even give you the faith to believe the thing that you have no idea about. And now that you believe, now you're going to be like me. Whoa. I'm going to start transforming your life. I'm going to change you from the inside out. Every single aspect of you, I'm going to take care of it because I'm faithful. And what I start, I bring to an incredible, glorious end. Just keep walking with me.
Yeah, man.
It's so simple. Mm-hmm. And there's so many things that want to distract, dissuade, entice, you know, and try to puff us up or push us down.
Yeah. It's good, man. Thanks for being open about that. Mm. Yeah, we've been brought into Christ's own relationship with the Father, and it's totally secure. And you're like, that's a pretty good place to grow up.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good home to grow up in. And I mean, I even have thoughts sometimes. I'm like, is this all wishful thinking? Like, it's nice stuff. Like, I don't really see a lot of big changes in me. But if you look back, you're like, I really have changed a lot. Yeah. You know, and like God really rebuilds you from the inside out. And he starts with the cornerstone, which is Christ. Everything else can fall apart. Everything else can be demolished, but he will remain.
Right.
He will remain faithful. Mm. Even if we're faithless and rebellious, he remains faithful and he will rebuild us from the ground up.
Yeah.
And I know I've been going through that. Sounds like you are as well.
Oh.
Liz, you already shared that, you know, you're really going through some of that. And it's great because he's like, you know, there are some great things that are going to be retained and then we're going to get back to basics and you are going to grow. And it's just look at how you're going to be a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you know, in Christ, 1,000 years from now. Mm-hmm. The Father just has us in his hands and he's growing us. And so that's also a simplicity of Christ is like, the Christ that's in me, the new spirit, the incorruptible seed, the new self, that my spirit that's one with the Holy Spirit is going to grow to what God wants me to be.
Yeah.
And he's okay with the progress. He's okay with the place that we're at. And, you know, he's growing us up. So, we're totally secure in that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of hard to accept it sometimes. And, you know, that's like, we're in the Babel system. Like you kind of brought up, we're in the confusion of this world. And, there's things we're going to see with our senses that if we walk by that and we walk by sight, we'll go, oh, I don't know. I don't know about that. You know, but if we keep our eyes on the Christ, our eye will be single.
Right.
And our whole body will be full of light. Right. And so, yeah, where are we looking? The one thing we can control as humans is what we give our attention to. You know, and I want to make sure I'm giving my attention to the Christ who perfectly reveals God and man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he will reveal everything else. It's like, you know,
it's good.
It's in the light you know, there's a psalm that says, in your light, we see light. And it, like, if he's not our light, we don't see any light. So
right.
I don't know if you have any last thoughts you want to throw out there, Liz.
Yeah.
We could talk about this someday.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thankful. I'm really thankful for the work. I'm really thankful that Father doesn't just allow us to settle into autopilot. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really thankful for that. And I'm thankful that he continually makes things new. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I'm very grateful to him for his consistent pursuit of me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Even when I may not be consistently pursuing him or pursuing him with the singleness that I need to, that my life comes from, you know. And so I'm very thankful to him that he's so faithful, even when we're unfaithful or even when we're faithful to the wrong things, maybe. Yeah.
No, it's
good. He's really faithful to us.
Yeah.
And I'm very grateful to him for that.
Yeah. Yeah. The righteous one has already lived by faith, and we hitch our trailer onto his 4x4.
Yeah.
And our faith is perfectly accepted in his perfect faith.
His gold 4x4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and our prayers are acceptable through his prayers.
Yeah.
And our service is acceptable through his service.
Mm.
And everything that is unfaithful, you know, is purified through the Christ, you know, yeah. And it's his life in us. So, that sets you free.
Mm.
You go, wow. I'm free. I've already been seated. You know, I'm in the promise. I say amen to that. All I can do is just say amen to what God has done. And there's days I don't say amen, mm-hmm. that we don't say that.
Mm-hmm.
And we just come back to the simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
We get drawn off into all these spirals and we just come back to the simplicity.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the more I grow, it just takes me less time to just be like, okay, no, I was off on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I just, we encourage you guys. You have any last thoughts, Jeroboam? You have a little.
I just wanted to
let you close it out. Why don't you close it out?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I just wanted to just say to anybody listening, and just encourage you. You know, we're all in this walk together. We're experiencing very similar things. That's often a common lie of the enemy. Like, you're isolated, and this is only your problem. And no, it's everything. It's common to all who choose to walk with him. But I just wanted to say that I know that there's times, and I just sense out there that there's folks that you know, it's all complex, it's all weighty, you're overwhelmed. It's funny. I'll give a really quick, really quick testimony. But like, there's often times, you know, we have so many things we're doing. We're working with children, we're working with ministry, we're working with, you know, keeping a good marriage and having a really healthy, strong relationship. We're working with friends. We're being there for people. Maybe you have a business and you have employees. Like, I mean, keep naming the layers of things and balls that we're juggling, right? And yes, there's a lot going on. But I want to say, like, even in all of that, finding a little bit of time, like just a daily small amount of time to spend with the Lord, just dedicated to him. Mm-hmm. That's that discipline, you know, that the mature Christian will begin to designate time, you know, and even at any level of Christianity, but you really that personal time, right? When we fell in love with the Lord and we fell in love and we had that moment of first love, you know, like when I first started dating my wife, I wanted to always talk to her. I always wanted to text. We had long conversations. There was times, you know, we lived 5 hours apart. We dated long distance. So we'd be on the phone at night and we'd both fall asleep and we'd wake up and our phones were still connected, you know, 8 hours later. And we're like, hello, hello. Oh my gosh, our phones are still, wow. Good morning. Good morning. Okay, here we are. And we're talking again. That is the thing that we have to pursue.
That's good.
Is keeping those first loves. There's a song by Leland. I've been listening to it lately. It's been messing me up, where he says, keep first love's fire. Like, tend to that flame that Liz was talking about, that burning, right? Keep that fire burning. And it takes just that little bit of time every day talking with Father, listening to Holy Spirit, thanking and treasuring Jesus, reading Jesus in the Word, and keeping that fire kindled and stoked and fanning the flame. And that will take you through everything in life. And even the most complex life will actually feel peace and this sense of stillness, like David was talking about, even though you have many, many balls to juggle. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if you all have experienced it. I see heads nodding in the studio and on Zoom that we've experienced moments where you have so many things you're dealing with and so many things, and you could easily just like one extra little feather on top would just push you into overwhelm. But then the peace of God comes and he sustains you and he nurtures you. And it's all about that simplicity, that time with Christ. It's simple. 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 5 minutes, 1 minute. Just spend the time. It's so, so worth it. So, that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just my exhortation. There you go.
All right, we'll keep it simple, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode, and for more information, visit our website, spiritschoolofministry.com.